We have finally made it, and we have our first English-speaking podcast. And we thought that we should start with in a decent way, something that is worth this podcast and all the work we already put into it. So, who to start with, if not the most powerful man in the world of floorball, the president of the IFF, Philipp Schumann. Welcome, Philipp, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Thank you for having me.
It's quite a weird setup because you're a Czech native. I'm a Czech native. We're speaking English, but I'm pretty sure we'll manage. As far as I know, the IFF is situated in Helsinki, right? In Finland.
Yeah, that's, and my Finnish is definitely worse than English.
Yeah, so we'll keep it English. That's a good thing. How does it actually work? You have the office is in Helsinki. Is everybody who's working for the IFF, are they in the office, or is it more like a remote crowd?
I would say it's more like a remote crowd. Half is actually working in Helsinki and half is spread around the world.
And can you give us a little bit of an insight in the structure of the IFF? If I compare it to, for example, the Swedish Federation, I read that the Swedish Federation has 10 times more people working for the Federation. The IFF is quite a smaller type of federation, right?
Yeah, that's right. Logically divided into, let's say, political part, the center board, which is 13 elected people by the General Assembly, and the professional office now consists of 10 people, which is, as you said, basically 10 times less than, for example, Sweden.
Yeah, it's quite a small crowd to build an international federation with, I believe. What would you say is the reason for that, or do you feel that for matching the ambition of the IFF, that you would need significantly more people?
Definitely, floorball is always ambitious sport, and looking at the scope of activities floorball would like to have on the international level, I would say the right number of employees would be somewhere between 30 to 50 for the present stage. But the reason is clear. The floorball is big, let's say in four countries. And even though floorball has now officially over 80 member federations, logically the financial situation doesn't allow to build a bigger office than we have now.
I will, before we dive into some more specific topics, I would start with a visionary question. I know that you're in floorball for many decades, I would even say, same as me. If somebody would travel back in time and have met you in, let's say, 20 years ago, 2005, and they would tell you that in 2025, floorball will look the way it looks right now. And I'm talking about the spread, the international spread, and the events and the scene itself. What would you think in that moment?
Interesting question. Never got it that way. I would say that 2005, when I was the Czech president, and especially during the time when the Czech floorball was developing really, really fast, I would be probably more ambitious and, let's say, even a bit naive where floorball can get during 20 years. So it's definitely a long journey. Floorball went during those 20 years. There are a lot of successes, but I was always, not only as a whole sport, but I always, as a person, was really ambitious. So I would hope that floorball would be a bit further than it's now.
I remember in Germany, there's this running joke. I think it's 18 years ago, 17 years ago, I don't know. There was this big German magazine or newspaper, FAZ. There was this big article and the headline was Der schlafende Riese, the sleeping giant. And they were talking about floorball because, of course, it's compatibility with a hockey sport in general, and that it could grow fast. And they had this type of blueprints from the Czech Republic, from Sweden. And they were actually like ringing the bell that be prepared soon, it will like rise and then the giant will wake up. In Germany, you still feel a little bit, it's like some kind of coma, or at least it's like dozing a little bit. What do you think? I mean, we cannot travel back in time and change things, but what could be the lessons from the last 20 years that we would say, okay, maybe we should have acted differently at that or that time? And what can we learn from this for the future?
You know, Jan, I know the article very well because at that time I was at the tournament in Germany.
Münster.
When the article was published, I was there personally, and that's why I still keep the article in my office, because it is kind of an interesting story of the potential the sport has. Yeah. And sorry for using the Czech example, but seeing the possibility the floorball has after we became the second biggest sport in a country. And remembering those situation in 2005, when still basically nobody knew floorball then, the situation, the floorball is a strong product, and it is it's up to us how we will work with the product. And I definitely still look at it as a sport with huge potential, and it depends what's our approach in respective countries. It's really different. Sometimes it's much easier to develop a new sport in a quite small country like Czech Republic than, for example, Germany or, let's say, China or USA. Logically, if you have a bigger market, bigger country, then it's even more challenging. But I really believe in floorball, that the strength is there, and it's only up to us how to fulfill the potential.
You are also, or you have been for, now correct me if I'm wrong, I think 12 years, the vice president of the Czech NOC.
That's right.
Yeah, so you're very well connected to the development also of other sports. If we look around, and I know it's a very unfair comparison, and I will try to explain why I know that it's unfair. But if you look at disciplines like padel or pickleball, where you have this sudden and dramatic rise, mostly, of course, caused by some lucky coincidences. You know, you had your corona period probably, but mostly also because it's a quite a simple way of doing the sport. It's easy to build an infrastructure. It's easy to enter it. Do you think that floorball is too complicated in its nature?
No, I think the otherwise. I actually think that that's the one of the biggest strengths of floorball, that in its nature, as you framed it, floorball is really easy sport to start with. And look at the young kids. And actually, I believe that football is the biggest sport in the world because it's the easiest to play. You just kick the ball. And definitely comparing, let's say, basketball, volleyball, floorball is a pretty easy sport to start with. But it's when you are drawing the comparison with other sports, you should probably compare floorball to other team sports. Because when you are developing individual sports, and like padel or pickleball, as you mentioned them, are basically individual sports, it is different, because you can play as a individual person or if with your partner in padel, but in team sports you need to set up a structure of clubs and leagues, and the development system is different. So when we want to compare the development of floorball, we should definitely look at other team sports.
I totally agree, and I had the feeling in the past, let's say 15-20 years, that floorball seemed to be tried to mimic a lot the behaviors and the automatisms and the logics of established team sports like handball or volleyball. It seemed a little bit like one tries to like reach that type of organization and style and whatever, and somehow it lacked to be this this challenger coming with new ideas, which I have to say, and I know that I'm not very objective, and you neither. I think that the Czech Republic did that very, very well. That they tried to tell the sport in a different way than handball or volleyball were doing. Would you say that there is a team sport out there that is doing it in a manner where floorball can learn from?
I would say in some aspects we can definitely learn from some team sports. For me, it's hard to find an example of a sport which I would say I would learn in like many aspects. Because the development stage of floorball is, we hardly can compare it like with football or basketball, as these are global sports. But sometimes looking at the what sometimes smaller sports are doing, I don't know how many people know what the netball is. Mm-hmm. It's pretty big in Commonwealth, and we can say even some smaller sports. I don't know how many listeners would know kabaddi, which is a typical Pakistani or Indian sport, but really, really growing in that part of Asia. And we definitely can look around and use some good examples. Logically, I would say rugby made enormous progress during last 20 years. So they are definitely things, but I like what you said, that floorball should not only mimic what the other team sports did. I believe that the journey can be a bit different. And I would say 30 years ago, or still 20 years ago, we were really not only young sport, but most of the people who are in the sport were really young. And I would hope that we will keep the attitude of maybe sometimes a bit naive, but always young and fresh point of view, with the courage to do courageous things.
Mm. When we just mentioned that floorball doesn't seem to be too complicated, but still there are plans to simplify it, or actually to make it easier to work with it, as far as I know. For example, making the games a little bit shorter to 3 times 50 minutes. I think right now I saw a few days ago the games between the Czech Republic and Sweden, who were already switching to that format. Obviously, the IFF is also stressing a little bit more the format of 3 against 3. Is this all some kind of, I would say, not strategy probably, but like slow steps towards simplifying the game in a healthy manner?
The 3 times 15 was motivated by the multi-sport games. And when we were able to join the World Games, it was the only way how we could get on the program. And when floorball was there for the first time in Poland, Wrocław 2017, we were all surprised how all of a sudden the game looked faster, even I would say more attractive, since there are less players there. The stars or the most interesting players were like had a more ice time or more percentage of time being on the field. So that's why the discussion started if the whole floorball shouldn't play that way. I would say that there was a lot of different opinion, and it's definitely not clear which way would floorball go, because there was also many opinions that on the top level floorball should keep the 3 times 20, knowing that if you look at like the floorball in general, I would say over 80, maybe even close to 90% of people are not playing the 3 times 20, because the 3 times 20 worldwide is played only in the elite leagues in some of the countries. When you are talking 3 versus 3, it is definitely something new. I would say that I was really pleasantly surprised now when I saw the second World Championships in Switzerland, when it was not only kind of really real fun, kind of a festival atmosphere, but it was really fun to watch. So well, it's still early to tell what could be the development of the 3v3, but looking at the beach volleyball or basketball 3v3, logically floorball should investigate what's the potential of this of the disciplines. On the other hand, I still believe that 5v5 is the flagship of floorball, and we still have a lot of potential there.
I have to admit, I was never a big friend of 3v3 because it usually meant that you didn't get the big hall and you had to find a solution how to play in the small hall anywhere in the world, either was Prague or Berlin. I had the luck. I was playing for Germany last year on the 3v3 World Championships. I have to say it was quite fun and I enjoyed it. And now looking at you, because you mentioned rugby, I mean, rugby's rise to the Olympic fame, one could say, was by reusing they didn't reuse it just for the games. They reused it already prior. It was a more compact way of playing the game, same as cricket is now doing for a few years. So it would, of course, somehow make sense. And what I was really surprised, and I believe you were also surprised, were the results of this year's 3v3 World Championships. I mean, you had Ukraine in the final against Switzerland, I believe, right?
Yeah, and we had I think France, Slovenia in the semifinals.
Yes.
So it was great to see that all of a sudden the difference between the countries were much smaller, and it was good that the top nations maybe didn't send the national team players. And that's why it also had that festival feeling I mentioned. But I believe that for these new countries, or normally maybe not the elite countries, it was a additional motivation that they can compete with other nations. So as I said, it's still early to tell what will be the development, but I think it's a perfect opening step or the first step for new countries, because logically to send a team or even to create the team and send a team to 3v3 is much easier than to send it to the big qualification where they can meet even some big country, and then the results are like really different, or there is a huge difference in the result. So I believe that everybody should try. I don't know how it was with you. I always loved to play 3v3 at the practice session, because you have the ball much more often and there is constantly something going on. When I was a player, I could not imagine that 3v3 could go on the World Championships level. But really, after seeing this now in Zurich or Winterthur, it was great experience.
Yeah, and probably let's stay there. It's always interesting how to see how people get into roles or positions. I know we've already spoken now for 20 minutes, but still I would like to actually know how it happened that Philipp Schumann entered floorball and became then president of the Czech Federation. And you were president of the Czech Federation for over 20 years, right? 21 years,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's right. But I would say the way was quite typical. I became a player. It was like love at first sight with me and floorball. The first practice, I was invited. I knew this is the sport I would love. Unfortunately, I was already 20 years old, so I always a bit sorry that I could not start 5 even 10 years earlier. Because it was in 1994 when floorball was just starting in Czech Republic, and then the way was okay. I became after a few years the leader in a club. Then I was recruited as a volunteer for the first World Championships in Czech Republic 1998. That opened the door for cooperation with the federation, because I was studying the law faculty and they asked me to create some kind of first regulations for the sport. And after a few months, I came with an idea to totally, let's say, change the federation and change the sport in Czech Republic to make it much more professional. I became the second employee of the federation at that time, and quite soon after it, I was elected a president. So, and it was a great fun to lead it for 20 years and to see it grow from basically a really small sport till, as I said, to the second biggest. And while you are a president of a federation, it's pretty natural that you start on an international level. And I always try to help also the other federations. And logically, after some years of being the vice president of the International Floorball Federation and trying to build the project for developing the other federations, it felt natural to run for the IFF presidency.
I have to say that especially your role as the vice president of the Czech NOC, I find super interesting, because imagining that now, of course, it's a bit unfair to the German development, but imagining that the president of the German Floorball Federation would be vice president of the DOSB, of the German Olympic Federation, that would be a really huge thing. How did that happen, that you connected that well? Was it because they saw that floorball was developing so well and they wanted to include that skill into their organization?
I would say it was the otherwise, because the floorball was developing so fast that I would say that the other Czech sports were rather jealous. And they, if I would say diplomatically, they didn't definitely were helping floorball because they see it as a huge competition, and even the really biggest team sports are sometimes trying to slow down our development. It was you need to give a try, and sometimes when you go to an election, I was definitely not a favorite when I won the vice presidential seat. So you just need to give a try and believe that you can persuade the delegates. And at that time, it was a huge surprise. But I hope that I persuaded then the delegates for the next periods, because I was responsible for I'm still actually responsible for one of the biggest sports project in our country, which is like Youth Olympics. Mm-hmm. It's basically 5,000 athletes every year and with 20 plus different sports. And it's a really interesting event to organize, because sometimes it's over 30 different venues. It's basically districts are competing against each other, or they are having their national teams. And it's like a small real Olympics, and to organize it's real fun. So, but sometimes it's just coincidence or not coincidence. Sometimes it's just you need to take, you need to try, and sometimes it works.
And is this role, I won't be asking when floorball will be Olympic, because I know that this is a painful question and
it's not done. You should
shifting.
Ask it.
I will ask that in a second. I will ask something else before that. Is that role that you have for the Czech National Olympic Committee somehow helpful in negotiating with the IOC? That's part of the question. And the second part of the question is actually, how does the communication of the IFF with the IOC look like? Is it a frequent process, or is it something where you meet every 4 years and you try to get an appointment with some of the folks there?
I would say something in the middle. Floorball belongs to, so to say, between the recognized sports. So it's a group of basically 40 different sports who were recognized by the IOC, but they are not yet the officially Olympic sports. And IOC is somehow communicating with these sports quite on a regular basis. We even receiving really small, but still some financial support from IOC yearly. And it's really important to mention that on the board of this recognized sports, we have a floorball guy. The secretary general of the federation, John Lillelund, is part of the board. He was elected there for the first time already some years ago. So it definitely brings some kind of respect to floorball between these recognize sports. So it's logically not everyday contact. We cannot anyhow compare it with the Olympic sports. But the IOC is really looking at what's going on between the recognized sports, and there is a quite deep cooperation between IOC and the association which runs the World Games. So for floorball, it was a huge success to be recognized, and luckily we succeed already 2008, because now it's, I would say, 5 or even 10 times harder for any sports to be recognized.
Why is it so? What's the reason for that?
I would say that the number of sport is actually now quite big, and the new sports, as for example you mentioned padel and pickleball, none of them or neither of them are recognized, and the not only requirements but also the way how the existing sports are, so to say, protecting their part or their field. And logically, for example, tennis is really, let's say, protecting their world, or what they see as is their world. And development of padel and pickleball, in especially in US, the tennis might not look always from the positive point of view.
Is there some form of roadmap to say, okay, we can the Olympics are our goal and we have some specific roadmap? Or is there what I always lately I thought that the only way to get into the Olympics is that Stockholm or Helsinki or one of the top nations somehow manages to organize the Olympic Games and puts floorball in as a wild card?
Yeah, that would be the logically the easiest way how to get in, but only for one edition. And the question is if that would even help to develop floorball that much. So if you're mentioning the Olympic goal, I wouldn't call it exactly a goal. I would rather see it as a some aspect which would definitely, you know, help floorball in develop. But it took me some years until I realized that Olympics would never accept floorball in order to help floorball. They would accept floorball if floorball is able to help the Olympics. So that's the otherwise. We have to have an added value for the Olympics, and then we can fight for being included in the program in a long-term basis. So we need to improve ourselves that much that we would have, as I said, added value for the Olympics. So we would need to achieve many things we can discuss in detail, but to keep it short, yes, it would be great to be at the Olympics, and but we have to do our homework and then fight for it. Now we are really far from it.
And is it mostly about some kind of international spread that you would say, okay, there's a critical amount of people playing the sport, and that is what brings you into the next pot where they would say, okay, now we're going to talk with you? Or what are the criteria that you would consider the most challenging and but still the most important one right now?
There are no specific criteria. Like, if I can dare to be a bit unpolitic, I would say that basically IOC is a private club. It is a club of 100 individuals, and they are deciding. But it's clear Olympics, it is about the money. So if the strength of floorball will be so big that financial-wise, media-wise, as you said, interest-wise, floorball would bring something to Olympics, then we are on the program. It's pretty easy. You can see on the, for example, cricket, even though now cricket is there. Let's see if they are able to keep on the Olympic program, because they are for the Los Angeles 28 for the first time. And the cricket it is not global sport. It's not spread really around the whole whole planet. So it depends, but logically it's so huge in Asia that it, from the financial point of view and media point of view, it totally makes sense to include cricket there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an entrance, it's a gate for them into a 1.5 billion people market, right? That is else quite underserved because India is not the most successful country at the Olympics. So this is a way, of course, to approach the people. So that's probably another angle. Yeah, that's interesting. I sometimes have the feeling that floorball has a little bit this challenge of telling stories. That we have some kind of lack of stories because we probably don't have these big competitions that would be permanently going on. Like, for example, you have in football the Champions League, and you have like every week, every second week, you bring the scene together with some kind of story, and you can then return to the weekends on the national scene, and then you bring everybody back together again. Do you think that there has to be a change in the program of floorball? I'm talking about world championships, about the top elite club tournaments, to make the sport more alive or to tell more stories?
Definitely the stories are the key for reaching out to fans. And we are now basically in the stage of finding a new model of the international competition, because like when you are playing the qualifications where sometimes you have even big like difference in results, it's really hard to build a story on that. So and also we have to realize that the media environment and the way how the people are consuming sport is developing, and it's really different than it was 15 years ago. Now it's we have a much harder competition than before. I don't know how is on the German market, but here on the Czech market, you now have basically I think 22 different sports channels which are fully in Czech language. They have the program basically from morning to till night. So you really have to find a way how you are talking to your own fans and how you still can be more interesting to them than, for example, Champions League. So the competition is really high. And there, it definitely the crucial role is played by the national federations, because the international federation must be really active when we have the major tournaments where the national teams are playing against each other and the story is there about the national teams, but it won't be for the main part of the season. For the main part of the season, it will always be about the leagues and the clubs, and we should start with the clubs. Looking how the clubs are working with this topic, if they see the communication as their priority, if they are able to really talk to the people in their own city, we need to explain the clubs how vital is this aspect to build a local brand of floorball in their own city, because in the end, the strength of the sport within the country is if you count together the brands of clubs around the country, and logically internationally it's the same. The international floorball won't be more than the federations together. So we need to strengthen the federations, we need to help them to strengthen the clubs, and then together we can build a big floorball family. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, I would probably stay there for a while because when we talk about the storytelling aspect, it's one could separate it into two categories. So one thing is the content, what you work with, and that you have to create. And then we're talking about the program, what the World Championships are we going to host them every 2 to 4 years? Is it, do we need some pan-European club tournament, which is a little bit wider? That's one story. And the other category is how to communicate. What tools do we use? Are we skilled enough to play all the channels? And I think those two things are very interesting to approach, because I have the feeling that, and that's before your time, so good for you. I think that this was neglected by the International Federation big time in the last, I would say, 10, 12 years, when this acceleration process of digital channels started to appear, where some smaller sports had the opportunity to drive past the bigger ones and gain some kind of advantage. So my question would be, what could be a change of the content? So let's start with the first category. What could be the change of the content? Talking now about World Championships, do we have to change the format of the World Championships? Would it make sense to make the Champions Cup a little bit wider, including also countries from the second or third row in some kind of pre-phase? And I know this has been here some years ago, but probably it's worth a new try. Do we have to find the content somewhere else?
I really believe in the national teams competition, because mm-hmm. the national teams are having one huge advantage. It's the easiest way how you can attract not only really core floorball fans, but you can attract also, let's say, the regular sports fans. I don't know how it's with you, Jan, but I'm trying to watch as much sport as possible, but logically, even for myself, it's much more interesting where the other sports, where maybe I don't follow the league that much, but if the national team is playing. And looking at the numbers, it's really clear. The 10 days we now have the World Championships, or if you would have a European Championships or any such big event, that's the crucial 10 days where we can address also like other fans and much wider group of fans, and that's where we should definitely focus. And I agree that we definitely can improve. You said that it was before myself, but I was part of the IFF for many years now, so I should take the responsibility for it as well. And I believe that we definitely can improve, and we can. I would say there has to be much better cooperation with the national federations on that aspect, to kind of join forces. If there is a national world championships, there shouldn't be kind of 17 teams, 17 media teams creating the content individually. We should try, I mean, like 16 teams plus IFF, we should try to really join forces and to do things together, maybe sometimes to be more effective with resources and really cooperate. And that's why we didn't have a chance to talk until now, that we are like now in the process of really changing the structure, how the IFF will work. And we are building a lot of new, let's say, committees for different areas of operation, and one of this area will be the external communication. And I do hope, and we are basically headhunting the skillful people inside the floorball movement, and I believe that we will be able to build a group of experienced and passion with people with passion in this topic, and then we can slowly improve it. And but I, as I said, it has to start not only on the World Championships level, where the story logically can be interesting for the millions of people, but it needs to start in each single club, how they work in their local city. That's what we are trying to teach clubs here in the Czech Republic, and that's what I believe we should start doing all over all federations.
That's a very, very good and very crucial point that we also had in the last episode. In Germany, we are missing a full employee for marketing in the national federation. And there are so many challenges coming out of that lack of personnel that are connected to all those points that you just mentioned, because you want to help the clubs, you want to help the regional federations, which play, unfortunately, I have to say, a major role in the development in Germany. But you want, of course, to help them. And the support usually comes from the federation above that has more resources to gather knowledge and to create processes of teaching. And this person is, for example, missing. So I totally agree. And for the German Federation, this would be a huge step if they would gain the resources to employ somebody who could build this. In the end of the day, it's marketing. It's marketing and communicating the sport in the regions and in the clubs and in the cities where the clubs are.
You know, but Jan, it took even our federation a lot of years until we were in that position that we could employ somebody who was specifically focusing on the marketing or promotion of the sport. So, because that's I'm a huge advocate of one thing, and I'm always promoting what I call the balanced development. That the federation is something like an organism, and if you are an athlete and you would like to become even a bigger athlete, you cannot only focus on your how strong are your arms or how strong are your legs, or if your internal organs are fine, like you have a big heart and your lungs are working properly. You need to take care of all your body. That's the only way how you will become a bigger athlete and or better athlete. And that's I think it's the same example like with the federation. And you need to develop all aspects of the federation. And you know, I got the question how Czech floorball developed so quickly, and I think that the only reason is that we were really trying to focus on all aspects, because I've heard so many times saying one federation saying, okay, now let's focus on the national teams and we will develop. And there was another federation who said, now we will focus on the grassroots and we will develop. And there was other argument. And I don't think it works that way. Even if you are small, you definitely cannot focus on all aspects on a top level, but you need to know that even if when you are small, you cannot focus on 1, 2, 3 topics. It doesn't work like that. You cannot prioritize between the topics I mentioned. You really need to step by step develop all aspects. And after seeing some of the German events lately, and actually I was at also your General Assembly just a year ago, I'm using German Federation now as an example to the other federation and trying to motivate the other federations which are in a similar stage of development to have your approach. Because if you would ask me, let's say, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago about German floorball, when I saw that there were different groups of people sometimes fighting at each other. And now I see that the regions started to cooperate. And I really talked to some of the representatives of the regions. And I think that the atmosphere changed. And the atmosphere is much more positive, much more cooperative. And I really hope that the German floorball will keep the development path they set in the last years, because if German would do it, and looking at the size of Germany, and we like for last half an hour we discussed how to develop the international floorball, the German development it's really important for the international development, because just by having the German market as a potential for promoting floorball, you would just double the amount of people comparing to the present EFT federations together. So the importance of Germany is really high.
We could, I could talk for hours with you about all those things. I don't want to stretch it too much, but there are a few smaller points that I would still try to grasp. Now, when we talk about Germany, as of course being one of the key markets that are in reach because they're in Central Europe, so they're well connected to all the top nations. So that's one thing. Regarding the other big nations that are usually key for an international sport to grow, like the United States, let's say Japan, nowadays definitely also China and India, probably some South American states. Do you see some countries who are in some kind of very positive trend that could be helpful for the global acceptance of floorball?
I definitely see a great steps in Asia because they are really successful in developing on a political level, and they were able to join with floorball in those Asian Olympics, like the South Asian Olympics, where quite some big countries are taking part. So I believe, especially in this region of Asia, floorball is now developing really, really well. I'm hoping that in China, the World Games might bring additional boost for floorball. The Chinese government already invested into some national center for floorball. So they see already floorball on the list of sports they are interested about. And let's see let's discuss in a couple months how floorball presented itself at the World Games in China. When you look at USA and Canada, it's really challenge like market with challenges. Canada has a huge advantage of being really strong ice hockey country, but really tough to develop sport, especially in the US, because you cannot address US as a one country. Rather, when you are talking about the development of sport on the US market, you should think about how you develop in a continent, because size-wise, the US and this is comparable not with Germany as one of the biggest European country, but with whole Europe. So it will be a challenge, and you just look at how many years football had to really try to find some roots in US. So I'm not saying that it cannot happen. We will definitely try to help US Federation in many aspects, but it might be a huge challenge. On the other hand, if you would ask me 15 years about Africa, I would say, come on, that will be tough. But seeing some of the African federations, okay, they might not win the world championships in next 20 years or even later, but the grassroots development might be there, because the whole continent is getting more developed, and in some countries you can find the infrastructure, and the fact that they are able to come to the international events, I see it really positive. But it is about working with even every single national federations, because when I became the president of the IFF, the huge responsibility I started to feel is not only about the international development. I really feel the responsibility for the development in each federation, and trying to find a way how to help them. Because I will just keep repeating this, the IFF or the international floorball will be big only if we will have big national federations. That's pretty easy.
There's one last topic that I would like to touch, because it was always quite interesting to me, and I believe that there is some catch-22 hidden somewhere in it. But it's this lack of relevant international sponsors connect to international events or the IFF? Because I know it's a very difficult setup because you're an international federation, so you're not very attractive to sponsors which are probably rather your size, but they're mostly more national. But then again, you don't have the big reach to be attractive to sponsors that go that are strategically looking for federations overreaching the whole world. How is that developing? Do you see that there is some chance in some near future that there could be a stronger sponsor partner coming on board? Also, of course, providing the IFF with the resources. And now I'm closing a little bit the circle to where we started, providing the IFF with the resources that you need to do your work even better.
We definitely need to try to improve in that field as well. Knowing that, as I was comparing the EFT countries with Germany, knowing that when you look at Switzerland, Czech Republic, Sweden, and Finland as the biggest market, and you even count them together, they have 35 million inhabitants. And as you're right, that the when we are now looking, let's say, not even for a global partner, but the European partner, that's a challenge to offer to such partner a reach in is it like 5% of the European market. So for now, it's definitely much easier to find the company which is active on one of these four markets and offer the conditions which would be interesting enough for the company to join with the international floorball. And we are now trying already to make some practical steps, like cooperating with some agencies and discussing it more deeply with some national federations how to address this. But regarding the results, we have to be realistic. Even if we achieve and we'll be able to bring some partners, the value of that partnership is not €1 million. If we bring a partnership with €1 million, we have enough money to change quite many things. But that's not the case. So definitely we have to give a try and to do everything possible. But we have to, so to say, improve floorball before floorball can be an attractive asset for really big European and global companies. That's true. And there's no sense to tell nice stories that we will bring a huge company in few months. That this is the reality.
Now I feel a little bit like Columbo leaving the room and then returning with one more question, but I would probably connect it to that a little bit. And there was some criticism about the last World Floorball Championships in Sweden because it felt a little bit there was not as much love in that event that there was probably in events prior. I already read about, of course, the reaction that it should be improved in the future. I will not ask about the World Floorball Championships because I believe that's quite a path. The Champions Cup, which I think is a very, very interesting format because it helps to connect leagues, and leagues have clubs, and clubs are daily business. Can you probably tell us if there is some kind of draft where this competition should grow, and if there is some ambition to include also clubs from the second and third row countries? Because in my opinion, that could be quite an easy lever where you can let the scene grow together and tell a common story besides World Championships.
Understand before answering, but I would say that looking at what the kind of how the volleyball, handball, and basketball European competition looked like, because it is something where we can find some kind of inspiration. There's a clear lesson we can learn from it. The club competitions we will be always as strong as the clubs are. Meaning that we cannot expect that if there is a club, let's say in Germany, playing a European competition, that there will be 10 times more fans coming for the game than it's coming for it's their own league games. So always the club competitions will be as strong as the clubs are. But we are definitely trying to find the best solution for fulfilling the needs for both the international development and also the clubs ideas. And as you know, for the last 2 years, we were trying for the first time to play the, let's say, kind of adult system of home and away games, which is a huge challenge for clubs, logically, because to travel abroad for a single game, that's something like 10 years ago was really hard to imagine. And to join this system with other federations will be also quite difficult. But we are trying to wake up the lower leagues of the European club championships, and I'm quite happy that it will happen this year. I think after 2 or 3 years when we didn't have any European club championships for this country, it will be played in connection with the Czech Open, and we have quite a lot of teams, and the interest was there, which is really positive. And already this summer, we will start discussing how to create some kind of connection between these two levels of the competition. But Jan, if you have a practical idea how to connect it, that it works both for Italian teams, German teams, and Swedish teams, please come with that. I will definitely appreciate it, because we have a lot of hard questions in international floorball, but this is definitely one of the toughest.
Yeah. I believe so. No, but it's very good to hear that you that it's on its way. We were building a few models in the podcast, how it could work and how it could be realistic also to the resources and the possibilities of a German club, of an Italian club that might be able to make one international appearance at some tournament somewhere, but still. This kind of tournament could be in this whole storytelling form somehow connected to the Champions Cup, so that you can tell the story of a European event, and you can also, of course, you know, build the channels for it, build the website, tell the stories, connect all those narratives, and then have like this one common story. So, you know, I know it's all a little bit of naive dreaming of somebody who loves this game so much. And of course, I always hope and hoped that we will be growing fast and faster. So we always hoped to come up with good ideas. And it's good to hear that this is the way that we're going. I don't want to make a Joe Rogan podcast out of this for 3 hours. So, Philip, is there anything, some famous last words that you would like to leave here?
Actually, there are. I wasn't thinking about this, but during the discussion, I realized that I would like to thank all the people who are involved in the floorball, regardless if they play in some local club, if they coach somewhere, kids or adults, or if they are important people in the club's leadership, or if they work for the federation, regardless if it's on a voluntary basis or some if they are referees or whatever, because we need you. We need every single person with the passion for the sport. I know sometimes it's tough, but I do believe that we can bring additional energy to floorball. That's why we also built the huge international program, development program, and maybe next time we will have a chance to talk about that one as well. And if you have the energy and if you have any ideas, I do hope that we will be able to build a structure in the international floorball that everybody can find the way how to take part of the effort, because only if we will work together as a floorball family we can grow. So I wish everybody that you have fun at each practice session or each club meeting, and hopefully meet you at some events, regardless if it's in Germany or worldwide.
Philipp, thank you very much for all the decades of work, the past and all the decades to come, because you're still a young fellow. So there's a lot to work waiting for you. And I wish you all the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you for your podcast. I heard that there are many people listening in Germany. So I wish also you that you'll have fun working with Forbo.
Thanks. Take care.